Turmoil in London as the minister in charge of Brexit resigns. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vivian Nunes, filling in for Anu Anand. Good morning. The Brexit Secretary Dominic Raab has resigned, saying he could not support the draft deal on leaving the European Union. In his resignation letter, Mr. Raab said keeping Northern Ireland aligned with EU regulations posed a very real threat to the integrity of the United Kingdom. Several other members of the government have resigned in the last few hours after the Prime Minister announced cabinet approval of the text yesterday. A few minutes ago, Theresa May told Parliament she's got the best deal possible to leave the EU, and she's called on MPs to approve it.
We were told that we had a binary choice between the model of Norway or the model of Canada, that we could not have a bespoke deal. But the outline political declaration sets out an arrangement that is better for our country than both of these, a more ambitious free trade agreement than the EU has with any other country.
It's added uncertainty for business, according to the BBC's economics correspondent, Andrew Walker.
I think businesses, those that are involved in international trade especially, were glad of the thought that there was a deal in prospect. But they always recognised that the politics of getting it approved by the British Parliament were going to be difficult. The news we've had this morning has underscored that big time. We've had two resignations from the cabinet, one of whom, and I suppose you could say the more senior of whom, is the cabinet minister who's been in charge of the Brexit negotiations. So I think that means that there's more chance that the people in the Conservative Party in Parliament who are opposed to this deal will be prepared to vote against it. I think the prospects of that happening are even stronger now that they've got a former cabinet minister on their side, and one with such a central role in the whole Brexit process.
There are so many questions this morning about what happens next. How are the markets taking this news?
Badly, essentially. They particularly reacted badly to the resignations we've had from the cabinet, because I think they see that brings back an increased risk of Britain leaving the European Union with no agreement, which in the markets has generally been seen as the worst possible outcome.
Andrew Walker. Let's do the numbers then. The pound is down 2.5 cents at $1.27.7. Asian markets closed mostly higher, with Hong Kong and Shanghai rising on hopes of a China-US detente. The ASEAN Summit of Leaders from across Southeast Asia is wrapping up in Singapore today. The two-day meeting, which also attracted the leaders of India, Russia, Japan and Canada, normally focuses on political issues. But this year, trade has been front and centre of the discussions. The BBC's Sharanjit Lail has been covering the summit.
They've been discussing a broad range of topics, actually, ranging from things like the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula, the Rohingya crisis, security issues at the South China Sea. That's usually what dominates these ASEAN Southeast Asian forums. But there's also this year trade, and that's come to dominate a summit that doesn't usually focus on trade and economic affairs. It's very unusual to be even discussed on these platforms, but that's because of this huge backdrop, this worry of the increased US-China tensions. It's something that's unsettled markets here. Many regional economies are really unnerved as well. So, for instance, I've been speaking to the Canadian Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, and he acknowledges that there are these two camps, multilateralism and populism, but he says the best way to go is free trade.
Our approach is that lowering tariffs, creating opportunities for businesses, for workers, is good for everyone. And therefore, I encourage people to embrace free trade, embrace trade ties that bring people closer. My mandate from Canadians is really to diversify and strengthen trade with the world. And that's what we're doing. And I highly recommend it for all sorts of countries, because our country's doing well and our trade is doing very well.
Sharanjit Lail reporting. We could see growing instability in the amount we pay for our food, according to the Dutch bank Rabobank. In a report out today, it says there are a number of threats that could affect global prices next year, from trade spats to animal disease and extreme weather. Here's Rabobank's Justin Sherrod.
Food and agriculture is definitely challenged by the global trade war that we see between the US and China. The US is an agricultural powerhouse. It's a major producer and exporter of food and agricultural commodities. China is a major consumer, and it's not able to produce everything that it consumes itself, so it depends on imports of certain things. And so the world's biggest exporter and, in a way, the world's biggest importer, when we're talking food and agriculture, are not seeing eye to eye together, and that's clearly the biggest headwind. And the issues that are associated with that as well, such as currency movements.
Another danger facing the food and agriculture industry next year, you say, is the problems associated with disease.
In particular, African swine fever. And although this is affecting primarily pork production and consumption in China, pork is a huge staple in the Chinese diet. China produces and consumes about half of the world's total pork production. So a relatively small change in production and consumption in China in terms of pork can actually have significant knock-on effects to the rest of animal protein trade around the world. And that also influences what happens with grains and oilseeds, which need to be moved around the world to feed the animals that produce the pork.
Justin Sherrod of Rabobank there. And finally, some good news for cheese fans. It's been found you can't copyright a taste. A Dutch company called Lavola tried to claim a monopoly on the taste of its so-called witch's cheese, a mixture of cream cheese and herbs, after a rival company made a similar one. But the European Union's highest court ruled that's not possible. In London, I'm Vivienne Nunes with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.